This is a spiritual reading being given for Joanne Storgas on Tuesday the 11th of February 2025 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. And first, Joanne, let me begin by wishing you a very happy birthday. Birthdays are very significant in spiritual terms, because they mark that time when the soul entered into this physical incarnation. And so each birthday that we have gives us a chance to review the purposes and the intents that the soul brought with it. If you can imagine, this is just an imagination, but if you can imagine the soul coming into the physical world, something like a beautiful female figure in flowing, translucent garments and robes, and carries with it a box, and this little box is very precious. It's got gold and silver filigree on it. And inside that box is the purpose of the soul. And every so often, the soul gets to open that box and reveal something more of its purpose. And this is a really good time, a very good age at which to open the box, which is what we will do, and review the purposes, the soul purposes for this incarnation. I stand within the hall of memory, and the book of the soul is given into my hands. And the book of the soul, Joanne, is a metaphor. It represents all the incarnations that the soul has entered into since it first came into the earth existence many hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, the book of the soul, as I see it, is like a beautiful, large, cloth-covered book, hardbound book. And the cover has a colour, and in the centre of the cover is a symbol, and at the top is a title. Each of these represents different aspects of the soul's, what one might call one's own soul nature, because all souls are actually different. Not one soul is like another. And the cover of the book, the colour of the cover, indicates the energies that the soul brought with it from the spiritual worlds. And those energies will remain with the soul, incarnation after incarnation. And we see the cover of the book as a very light rose pink. Very unusual colour, by the way. It represents love, compassion, intuition, sensitivity, artistry. Insight. Spiritual insight into others. And so we would find that in many incarnations these qualities will drive or characterize an incarnation. Then the second aspect of the book cover is that it has in the center of it an image. And as we see it, the images of a rose coloured in pink. I'm not expressing that very well. It's a pink rose, but the deeper pinks are on the tips of the petal, and as you spiral in towards the centre, the pinks become lighter and lighter until they're white. So it's a beautiful pink rose. The rose represents growth. It also has to do with the opening of the heart. It also represents the expression of love and compassion. And so again, these qualities will be expressed in different incarnations. And the final aspect of what we see upon the cover of the book is the title, which I will translate as the bearer of the rose, or the one who carries the rose. And again, this expression, this purpose, this task to carry from incarnation to incarnation the power and the energy to open the spiritual nature, if you like, or the memory levels of other souls will be expressed within you. And when it's not expressed, then it brings frustration and difficulty, which also you would have experienced in different past lives. We open the book, and it opens at the current incarnation. It says age, this is the 68th year. No,
the
69th year. Yeah. You've just entered into the 69th year of this current incarnation. So congratulations, you're entering the 70s. The 70s have a great significance because they are the decade of wisdom. If you have prepared in the 60s by living a life of freedom and release and expression, which the 60s allows you to do, it's not constraining like some of the other decades, but if you allow yourself to lead that life and to keep expanding your thinking, your consciousness and your understanding, then all that you did in the 60s and all the decades before is transformed into wisdom that comes from you over the next 10 years. Not sure I dare tell you about the 80s. You'll probably turn around and say, well, I've had enough of being this wise person everyone turns to and everyone's leaning on. I think I'd like to do my own thing now. Thank you very much. But that's another story. It's a story for another day. So at this age, the soul portrays itself on the right-hand side in colours. These are the colours of the aura. And on the left-hand side, it displays something of its purposes for this life in little verse. And I'm going to tell you the verse now, and then we'll focus on the aura colours. But the verse, as I see it, says, to open a door first for self. The second line, to open the door for others. And the third and final line, to stand guard at the door. So, to open the door first for self, to open the door for others, to stand guard at the door. And that indicates to me that in this incarnation you have to open something within yourself. And perhaps that's an understanding. Perhaps it's a link to the past. Perhaps it's a connection to other souls, to groups of people. Perhaps it's an inner gift or talent that you have. And then the second phase of life, you are a guide, a mentor, a teacher. You're assisting others to make the same connection, because a doorway is a connection. And then the third aspect of life, which you're coming into really, is to guard that doorway. So you must feel what you've done with your life is precious and needs to be protected. The aura colours. The first colour, which is the to do with one's life energy and the energies that one is given or that the soul brings into incarnation in order to achieve its purpose, is light red. It's quite a strong, quite a fierce light red. That's a fighting colour. You're not going to lie down in this life. You're going to stand up and you're going to express yourself. And when there's people around you trying to contain you and say, no, you can't do that, Joanne, you're going to say some very rude words to them, which I won't put on the recording. So it's really that indicates a strong sense of individuality, a strong sense of self. And when people come in with that, then it's very helpful if you have a purpose to achieve that needs going against opinions and customs and current social climate or mores. So it's often the colour of a pioneer. Very good, strong colour. The second colour is brown, light brown. Now that's a good colour too. Brown means that you can take all this energy that you have and channel it into something real, purposeful, and lasting. Whereas the light red, the red's a colour of the pioneer, the explorer, the one who creates a path, who generates something within life, the browns take that energy and make the person much more stable, by the way, which is a good thing if you've got lots of light red. And it enables you, it's a gift that enables you to work within structure or organization, so that what you create in the first place can be stabilized and made permanent. The third color is blue. That's really interesting, because blue is the colour of spirit. And when you have that colour in your aura, especially in this position, it indicates that there's a sense of spirit or spiritual consciousness or spiritual understanding that brings everything together for you. And because it's a third colour, that might be almost unconscious. But if you brought it into consciousness in this incarnation, you would be associated with some sort of spiritual activity, yoga, meditation, religion in various forms. But it's a spiritual manifestation. It's not closely connected with formal spirituality or religion or church, except insofar as a church or a spiritual organization channels spirit, really allows spirit to flow through it. So the light blue doesn't find boundaries easily. It wants to drift off. It's a mystical colour, so it indicates that you've got a mystical side to you, and that from time to time you'll need silence in your life. From the shoulders, greens, powerful colours here. The greens, which is light with streaks of darker green, that's a deep connection to nature. It expresses itself in different ways. Sometimes it's actually connected with music, and if you have that colour, I would definitely make sure that you have music in your life and that you use your voice, speaking or, better still, singing. But it also represents a connection to country, a connection to the natural world. It's found, sometimes I find this in the auras of First Nations people who have a deep spiritual connection with the natural world, and indeed feel themselves as part of it rather than as separate from it. Also connected with healing. Sometimes this is in terms of traditional medicine, like nursing, medical knowledge. You'd have made a great GP, but I guess is that you've gone off in a different area in this life. So the greens is what raises us up, and here there would be a connection with earth issues like climate change, ecosystems, trying to maintain stability and growth within the environment. Deeper reds around the throat and the heart. Indicate the deeper reds indicate certain frustrations along the way in life. The deeper red around the throat means that at times you've met barriers and obstacles that you willfully would have liked to break down, but which probably in the end you couldn't break down. You might have bent such a barrier or wall to a certain degree, but you might have become quite bruised in the battle to break that particular wall down. And as you enter into the 70s, that will element will dissolve, because once one reaches 70, you look back on your life, and if you're good to yourself, you say, I did the best I could with the knowledge I had at the time. I don't have to strive for any more. I can now release. Because when we get into the 70s, we are preparing for the return to a real world, a real home, the world of spirit. And in order to do that properly, we need to have that time in the 70s to let go and release everything that we've created, we've been holding on to. And if we can do that, then we'll find that, like a plant that you've tended, brought to a certain stage of growth, you can walk away and it'll look after itself. From the head, there's light rose. No, that's wrong. There's purples inside the head, and there is a small vortex of light rose. The purples and the light rose around the head area indicate the thinking, which is really interesting. There's no yellow there. I wonder why not. Yellow is the intellect. If you have a lot of yellow, it indicates someone who is big on abstract thought, mathematics, philosophy, those sorts of things. But the purples indicate that you have a concern with mediation, with helping people move from one phase of life or one experience of life into another. And the light rose indicates that you are very perceptive, even psychic, I would say, that you can see at times deeply into people and read their needs, not just what they want, but what they actually need. Now above that is a sort of a ball of yellow, and that's interesting because it's as though you have a great mind, but you either hide it from people or you hide behind I'm not quite sure what I'd say. It's not behind a philosophy or perhaps it'll come clearer, but it's as though you tend to hide the fact that you are a great thinker. And that yellow that sits there, it's accessible at times. And so there are times in your life where you've needed to think things through really clearly and have a clear objective understanding, and you can do it. You're not a very objective person normally. You're too passionate, a bit too fiery for that. But you have the capacity to tap into certain objectivity and to explain and communicate in a way that, say, the academic system or the legal system or the business system, the government system, whatever you, those sort of systems that you can actually make a connection and a communication there. Above the head, the cosmic colours, light blue above the head and a deep reddish orange, deep orange below the feet. The cosmic colours are not part of the aura, but they will become part of the aura if the gifts that they represent are utilised in this incarnation. And the light blue represents a new level of spiritual insight that is close to you or connected to you, or that you may make a connection with in the near future. And the orange below the feet is to do with individuality and walking your own path, creating your own path in the future. There are symbols, pictures, images in the aura. On the left-hand side of you, you're standing, is a Roman centurion with a spear grounded. In front of you is a picture of Mary, the mother of Jesus. On the right-hand side is an angelic figure or a spiritual figure, and it holds in its hand a lance. It holds in its right hand a lance and its left hand a shield. Now these images represent energies that have entered into you over certain incarnations. And the image of the Roman soldier, for example, indicates that you had an incarnation about the first century in a male body. And that's really interesting because if we see you, you're standing at the foot of the cross where Jesus was crucified, and you're in charge of the execution team, so to speak. And for you, it's just another day. You hated this country. Your name was Tiberius Longinus, or some name like that. And you came from a little province in Rome, and you were sick and tired of slumming it with the locals, and the soldiers under you, they were the worst of the worst. They were just out of the gutter, really, and there they were dicing and making foul jokes about the people on the cross, and you were disgusted, and you looked up at the Christ on the cross, and you became, how can I put it, you became opened in that moment, and Christ gave you a gift, which is the gift of the rose, and that's the gift of compassion, because when you looked up at the cross, instead of just feeling like it's all my duty, all another day, you felt a wave of compassion come over you. And so Christ said, on the mental levels, because you have experienced this, this will be your path in life from now on. So the figure of the centurion represents the past, and it's interesting that Christ had that power to change the soul purpose, and that's why when we look at the book of the soul, the gift of Christ is there in the center as the rose. I'll talk about the other symbols later. I'll just finish by describing the symbol of the over-self. And the symbol of the over-self represents the processes of the soul. And as we see it at the present, it is a path leading into the distance. And in the middle distance, there's a mountain, actually, a conical volcano, and there's a big snake wound around the mountain, around the volcano. But behind it rises the sun in the form of a rose. That's a remarkable symbol. And may I say, Joanne, that it represents a sense of completion that I don't often see in the auras of people that I do readings for. That whatever you've done in this life, you've brought it to completion. But more, you have created an opportunity or an option, a different way of looking at things, so that in the future people will be able to have hope. And that's a beautiful life. Let's return for a moment to the aura colours, light red. You must have been really fiery when you were younger. I wouldn't say you had a temper, but I would say that you were absolutely determined to get what you wanted. And you would probably be quite strategical about it. You are, after all, an Aquarian, aren't you? So it's really funny, because Aquarians are normally detached, objective, but that light red makes you determined to push ahead no matter what the cost. Not many people have that much red energy in them, and although it can create real problems, it can provoke hostility from others, it can provoke antagonism, it can provoke opposition, and nevertheless it also is a colour that can encourage and give courage to other people and display courage as an energy that needs to be out there. Light red is often associated with incarnations where you're a fighter, and incarnation in South America in the 15th century, I think it would be, 16th century, no, 15th century, where you were a Spanish soldier. I see you sitting on a horse in this army. You had a great black moustache. You were brandishing a sword, so you're a leader. That's another quality that the light red gives, is leadership. And you were leading soldiers against the native people, the Maya or the Inca. I'm not sure who these are. You were very successful in what you did, but you were eventually killed with an arrow or a blowpipe dart or something like that, but something was poisoned. It went into your left eye and you were blinded, and then the poison took effect and you died because you were pushing too far. You went into the forests, and it wasn't the native people that lived in the forests. They weren't going to stand up and have a battle like the Incas did. They were going to climb up into a tree and shoot darts at you, which was a more successful strategy in this case. So what you learned from that incarnation was not to be foolishly brave, reckless. You learned not to be reckless. And you learn to be more strategic about your thinking, that you won't lead people into dangerous situations if you can possibly avoid it. And in that incarnation, not only you died, but most of your men died as well. They were slaughtered. And the native Incas who accompanied you, they didn't make it out either. Between the natives and the wild animals, they got you all. So again, leadership is a strong quality, but leadership with thinking and with strategy. Incarnation, actually a very close time, I think. Again, the 15th century, and here again in a male body where you're dressed as an Arab, a sort of a reddish orange turban around your head, and you are in charge of guns, artillery, cannons. And as I see it, you're assaulting the city of Byzantium, Constantinople. And you are in charge of the explosives. So, of course, those old cannon, they would often blow up and kill the people who were firing them, as kill the enemy. But you also were in charge of sending in teams of people to dig a tunnel or a trench underneath the wall of the city at night, and to put a pile of explosives there, and then you would set it off, and if things worked out well, and a piece of the wall would come tumbling down. And in the end, your forces, you weren't the general there, you were just you were the engineer, so to speak, your forces brought down the city and finished the empire. And again, it indicates to me that there's a sense of determination to fulfill and complete a task. And you're capable of being quite original and seeing things in different ways. Interesting that you died in that battle because you were there supervising the team of the explosives, and the explosion took place early, and part of the wall fell on you and crushed you. So the soul learned a lesson from that life, not to use its powers for destruction, because when one directs one's soul qualities outwards and uses them to destroy and hurt and harm, then that will come back on you. And the more spiritually advanced you are, it turns out, the faster the retribution. So that happened very immediately in that incarnation. Incarnation, we'll look to the Browns now, which are the thinking logical part of you. And incarnation in Egypt, again in a male body, and this time you're holding a scroll. You're an architect, designer, and you direct teams, hundreds and hundreds of people, to build things. Not the pyramids, that was a different era, but as I see you, you're at a place, I think, called Karnak, or Luxor might be called now, where you're building temples. I can't quite see the name of the pharaoh. It might be Ramesses or something like that. But there you are. You're building a temple, which took quite a long time, 20 years or something. And you're carefully mapping out places to put pillars and columns. And the design was not... You didn't design as an architect would in the modern era, where it was about appearance and, decoration and how impressive something looks. What drove you was the principle of harmony, that you wanted to create a structure that was in harmony not only with itself as a beautiful structure, but in harmony with nature. And also it had to be in harmony with the gods, the spiritual forces that would come and be part of the worship and the rituals that would take place inside the temple. It's interesting that you should have that ability to direct and control groups of people, to organize and to train, perhaps, to communicate clearly, and especially to communicate a clear vision. The blues. I want to come back to the Browns for a moment. It's not really associated with the Browns, but there is a lovely incarnation in 19th century Paris. You're in a female body, and you are an artist, and you were quite masculine in that incarnation, but that was perhaps something protective. You certainly had lots of affairs, but you dressed in trousers, a grey trouser suit, a long grey coat with black lapels, dark lapels. You had a black flat hat on your head. You smoked cigars. a real character, and you usually had a flower in your lapel. And you mixed with the famous artists of the day. So the that incarnation incarnates the incredible sensitivity that you have to be creative, not only just on a practical level, but also on an artistic level. And you should have beauty in your life. And the more that you create beauty in your life, albeit in a very original, unique, idiosyncratic way, the more satisfying your life is. The blues, as I've indicated, it's a devotional element, a religious, spiritual component. It's where we instinctively feel ourselves expand beyond a physical existence, beyond a physical consciousness, into something greater. And sometimes this brings spiritual experiences or a mystical experience. And sometimes we hide this away because we don't want people to think that we're weird or odd or woo-woo, as a friend of mine says. But it's the ability to reach out to the spiritual world, the way I would understand it. And here we have an incarnation. Where is it? It's in the 13th century, I think. You're in a female body and you're a nun in this incarnation. Had a great connection with the Virgin Mary in that life. You were very unsatisfied, though, with being a nun. You were put in the convent. Now, where are we? We are in, what's the term? Catalonia? Region in the south of France, Languedoc, the region had experienced tremendous persecution from the Inquisition because a lot of people were part of the Cathar heresy or the Cathar faith, and your parents had belonged to the Cathars, not committed, they hadn't become part of the inner circle, but they were forced to change and convert into being Catholics, otherwise they would have been executed. And the church also insisted that their daughter, which was you, go into the Catholic Church and go into a convent, and that way they wouldn't be able to have children, or you wouldn't be able to have children, continue the family. So that was very frustrating for you. You felt you were being forced into spirituality, something that was contrived and not real, something that was false. And yet you had the conversations with Mary. And in these conversations, she would assist you to come to, how can I put it, come to accept the situation and to find a peace, because you wanted to fight. But the purpose of that life was to find a way of coming into balance despite the outward circumstances and situations, and bringing peace into your heart. Now, that is something that you should be able to do today. You should be able to create peace within yourself, and you should be able to help other souls bring themselves or their lives into balance and create a balance between what they think they want and what they can actually have, which is sometimes a difficult balance to achieve. There's a reason for that particular incarnation where you were forced to be a nun. In the 4th century, you had an incarnation, I think, in Egypt, Alexandria. You were in a male body here, and you were a bishop in the church, and there was an ongoing battle between the church, which was very aggressive in converting the pagans, and as a bishop you more than once you led a mob to attack pagans in their homes, and at least once you burned a house containing a pagan family because they wouldn't convert. Now, you were in that incarnation, you've had such strong views, we would say now that you were a thorough bigot, but in that incarnation you just had very strong views according to the times, and you wanted to save souls, and if a few people got burned in the process, well, it was good for them because they might end up getting saved once they died anyway. But because you forced people into a faith situation, or you forced people into adopting opinions and understandings that were not what they needed at that time, was against their will. So in the 13th century, you were forced into a situation and a faith that was not your will either. So in this incarnation, you would have learned from that not to force people into your own belief system or your own understandings, but you have a much greater ability to let people come to their own understanding. The Greens. That's really interesting. You had an incarnation in the early 20th century. You were black, living in New Orleans, a black woman. And you lived in a situation not much better than real slavery. You were a servant. And you used to, you and the other servants on Sundays, it was the only time you got off, you used to go and join each other in the squares and form long conga lines, and you would dance to the drums, and you would chant, and you would sing gospel songs, and you'd sing songs that you remembered from the days in Africa that had been passed down. And you would play... you would bash a tambourine with a sort of a felted hammer. You had a ball. You had a great sense of rhythm in that incarnation, and that music was the foundation of what became known later on as jazz. So in this incarnation, you should have a great sense of rhythm, that you should be able to enjoy rhythmic music, that, as I've said, great if you can be part of music, or you can have music as part of your life in this incarnation. Had a great singing voice in that life as well. Real Bessie Smith type of voice. looking at an incarnation, I think in Great Britain is the wrong term. It's in the 3rd century AD. CE, whatever you want to call it. You're in a female body here. In Britain, a part of Britain towards the south, I think, towards where Cornwall would be now, and you are part of an order. It's a sort of a druid order, but I didn't know women could be part of a druid order, but anyway, it's a female equivalent perhaps to the druids. And as I see you, you are clad in a sort of a white robe that goes over your head and comes down the other side. And you have a connection there with music and with chanting, but it's to do with with nature, with the natural world, that the music and the chanting was to bring growth, productivity, fruitfulness to the land. So the connection there with growing things, with seeds, with crops, with trees. And as I see you, you're celebrating an oak tree. I'm not sure why you're celebrating an oak tree, but there you are. You're leading a ceremony around it. And you're asking the being of that tree to bless the land. Interesting that you had an incarnation in Australia in the 18th century, I think, where you were in a male body in the northern part of Western Australia. Again, as I see you, you're a very strong, muscly man, and you're holding arrows and spears. Sorry, not arrows, but spears and weapons in both hands. And in that incarnation, where you were initiated into the mysteries, if I can call it that, you were given a vision, and you saw a vision of these people coming across the ocean and going to attack and assault the land and the people. And somewhere, there's probably a cave painting or something like that that illustrates what you saw in your vision. And the purpose of the vision was to warn people so they could be prepared, and so they could begin a transition into a completely different state of consciousness over the next 200 to 300 years. What that means to me is that in this incarnation, again, you may be associated with helping people change consciousness, transition from an old view into a contemporary view. And I'm not saying that modern new is better than old. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, in some ways, the new way of looking at the universe is much worse than the old way. The new way is much more destructive, for a start. But nevertheless, this is where we live. We live in this new. And because you have the mediator within you, you may be able to assist people to not just enter into the new, but brings with them what is valuable from the old, so that it may become a power within the modern Australian consciousness or psyche. The purples, the rose in the head, as I've indicated, would would make you perfectly positioned to be in any position where you're mediating and assisting others. You're able to see how to open doors or how to build bridges. And this is an important skill, to help people transition from one place to another. The yellows above the head, as I've indicated, you have access to a very good sense of thinking and understanding. You may not live from that level, but nevertheless you have that available to you. I've described the image on the left, the centurion, the image in front of you, the Mary, indicates that within you dwells the ability to nurture, to feel for others, to assist others to grow, to bring the gifts of others into fruition. It indicates the energy of compassion that dwells within the heart. The image on the right side, which is the spiritual being with a lance, well, the lance represents truth, and spirit is, well, spirit, so it's the truth of spirit. And in the years to come, there is a rising tide, once one might call it, of muddied thinking, where you will find that lies become presented as truth and truth becomes presented as lie, where the fake is presented as real and the real is presented as fake. We're coming into a period where our whole understanding and our whole thinking about our culture and our society and our world is going to be muddied and darkened by some of these energies that are in the air. And then it will take someone with courage to take that lance of truth and pierce some of the delusions and illusions and reveal something more real. And that brings me to the image of the over-self. The volcano with the snake around it indicates the current consciousness, not just of Australia, but of the whole world, that old spiritual energies are being released into human consciousness, which have little relevance to what the way human beings need to think currently. Human beings sort and winnow fact from fiction, truth from lie. But the volcano puts out a lot of, a huge amount of smoke into the atmosphere, and it muddies it. That's the human, the atmosphere of human consciousness. So behind the volcano rises the sun, which is shaped like a rose. And the rose says that what we need is not more argument, it's not more debate, it's not more fighting, it's not more opinion, it's love, it's compassion, it's forgiveness. And the rose represents the reality of the newer, higher consciousness into which humanity must enter if it's going to survive. And it needs people like yourself to maintain with courage and conviction the values of truth and reality and integrity within the world. And that's going to be, you would say, oh, well, can I retire now? You can never retire as a human being. And now you've reached your 70s, you may find, of course you haven't quite reached your 70s, you're going to reach your 70s, but 69 is a transition time.
68.
Sorry, Millie's right. She just corrected me. You're 68. Well, you're coming up to 70. You'll find that your words have more and more power in the next, in the years to come. And if you can be that wise person, that one who understands both sides, and the one who can see clearly, and the one who can show clarity to other people, then not only will you have maintained your legacy, but you will have an amazing future in the next 10 to 15 years. So shall it be.